laws.
Waylon Jennings did that, didn't he?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're having trouble getting it on the hard and fast country stations for that reason.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They're going to come, I think, with another single after the first of the year. Because Ladies Love Outlaws got a lot of secondary play and I think did its job in terms of promoting the album, but didn't get any top 40 action. So they're going to put out No Regrets, I think.
How long have you been playing music? Have your parents played music?
No, my mother...
Learn music?
No. My mother was one of those people
like
who...
There's some stock, there's a whole bunch of stock questions. I'm just trying to figure out.
What's your favorite color?
Away from
Tom Rush.
Tom Rush has been on the scene actually for a long time.
Tom Rush.
Going over 10 years, I'd say, isn't it?
Something like 10 years, yeah.
When you were playing around in Boston, it was 65, 66.
Yeah. Right. What's it now? 74?
The scene was big.
Yeah.
And since that time, put out a lot of albums. Just looking through our Tom Rush collection, we've got about 6 or 7. Pretty sure that's not complete.
No, I think there's a total of 10, but some of them aren't around anymore, thank God.
Some of the early ones.
They're extinct now, as well they should be. But actually, most of them are still around there. I am what is known in the trade as good catalog.
Uh-huh.
Meaning that they still sell the old ones, you know, in steady, small steady amounts. But that's nice, I guess. I don't disapprove of any of the old records, actually. They were what I was doing at the time, you know. They're, I guess, interesting from that standpoint. But I'm more interested in the new ones, you know. Usually the last one and the next one are the ones I like best.
Notice you do a couple of Wayne Berry tunes.
Right, right. Wayne's a friend of mine. He's really a good writer. I still haven't gotten to hear his new album, or his album, I guess it's his first. His first as a solo. He's with various groups before that. Various groups that didn't really get anywhere, I guess. But he's getting a lot of push from RCA. I've been on tour since the record came out, so I haven't gotten a chance to listen to it. I did a radio show where they wanted me to be the DJ, play the records and all that. So I was playing everybody's records, trying to catch up on my listening, you know. But the phones kept ringing, so I didn't get to hear anything.
Who are the artists you'd like to listen to?
Well, I was trying to catch up on Wayne Berry, Jackson Browne, you know, various people that have put out records recently.
Yeah. Into David Bromberg?
Oh, yeah.
He was in town recently. He's got quite a band together.
Is he playing at the Quiet Night?
No, he's playing at the auditorium.
Uh-huh.
Just filling in. I think Waylon Jennings might have been, who was supposed to be there, didn't show up. So he came in there last minute. He's got 8-piece band, 2 violin players, sax player.
Right, I worked with him at the Philly Folk Festival.
Yeah. And, you're still playing the folk festivals?
Well, I haven't played for quite a while, but I was working as a solo for the past year. I now have a band with me. I'm working with Orphan backing me up. But
they're with you in Chicago this time?
Yeah, right. Starting tomorrow.
Have you ever explored any of the duet roots with female vocalists?
No, but actually that was proposed to me just yesterday. That I should do, you know, make a record, or maybe it was just a single with a lady singer, and I don't know if it'll come to pass. I'd like to do it.
There's a sense of purity in remaining solo, just an entity, and not joining up or forming a group.
I've never been tempted to be a member of a group per se. I don't know why, but that's just never appealed to me. You know, I've had bands, and I'm working with Orphan. They're a separate entity. They work on their own. They're only backing me up for this tour.
They have an album on?
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got 3 out on London Records. The latest one being called More Orphan Than Not.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Running across that.
They're a really good band.
Where are they from?
They're Boston based. They just enjoy playing. They have a real good time on stage. And I have a real good time working with them. Largely for that reason. You know.
I always think of Questman and them, Lyman and them people.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Boston. Do you have any interaction with them?
No, Questman sort of was inactive for a while. He got involved with Mel Lyman's Avatar group, and I haven't seen Jim for a long time.
Do you know, is Mel Lyman alive?
I haven't heard anything to the contrary.
When was the last time you saw him?
Last time I saw him must have been about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I knew him as a harmonica player.
That's right.
You know, it was before he got into the Avatar thing.
I'm just running down a rumor that he isn't really alive. The Avatar group is perpetuating the sort of myth that he still is. They're firmly convinced that he's the reincarnation or the coming back of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rather strange worldview.
I thought he was a good harmonica player.
Excellent harmonica player.
But I don't know about anything further than that. But I can't shed any light on that subject because I haven't seen him for a long time. In fact, most of those guys that made up the Boston folk scene I haven't seen for quite a while. Most of the Boston folkies were, in fact, typewriter repairmen and microbiologists in real life. And they were only musicians in the amateur, the original amateur sense of the word. The original sense of the word amateur. Have I said anything or not? But anyway, they, you know, it was a living room music scene more than a professional one. And most of them have gone on to become whatever it was they were studying to be.
So it was a transition.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What happened to you?
I went bad.
Where did you start from?
I was studying at Harvard and playing in the coffee houses around Boston.
Mm-hmm. Make a little extra money.
Yeah, $10, you know. $10 for something I like to do seemed like a real good deal. Still, you know, still seems real nice to be paid to do something you enjoy. But I graduated with a degree in English Lit, which does not pay the rent.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it came time to pay the rent, I'd do a couple of gigs. And it gradually developed from there, you know. But I didn't set out to become a professional musician. It just sort of was the course of least resistance.
How about Pat Sky?
I saw Patrick also at the Philly Festival with his bagpipes.
Oh, no.
I'm very fond of Patrick. He is very dedicated to having a good time at all times.
That also sort of raises a question. There seems to be a parallel between solo folk singers and dedication to a group, either direct or indirect, like Questman. Skies with ZBS, isn't it? Was he working with them?
With ZBS Media.
ZBS Media.
Yeah.
Do you do anything like that, or are you just totally solo quite through the music world? That's it.
I don't know. I form transitory relationships with various other players and such, but I'm not really affiliated with any group. I'm kind of a loner anyway, as opposed to a joiner. And it has its advantages and its disadvantages, but it's kind of my nature. The place I've chosen to live is very isolated.
Where do you
live? New Hampshire. But I've got it's a house on a hill, you know, and I own all the land around it, and
do you
plan to get a large dog in the near future.
Do you want an
No. thanks.
Seriously.
I just ate.
Seriously, 1 year pup.
Yeah.
Well, come in.
A knock on the door.
Is Ron here?
No, I believe he's gone, Lucio.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay.
Monty Python on TV, come on. Have you been catching Monty Python on TV?
No, I haven't.
Every Sunday night, at least in the Chicago area.
Yeah.
The half hour Monty Python's flying circuit.
I haven't. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd love to see that. I haven't caught any TV for a couple of months because I've been on the road.
It's funny, on the educational stations in the country.
Yeah, it should be on public.
PBS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This question is about solitude and folk music. I'm wondering what the relationship is. Because I think that's maybe one way of keeping at least a thin strand of non-commerciality in the folk music scene. That's my opinion on it. And when you go to the other direction of it, when you're joining groups and seeing how many concert tours you can click into, you begin to lose, I think, the thing you had to begin with.
Yeah, well, it partly depends on your choice of instrument. I mean, if you're a drummer, by the nature of your instrument, you can't really go solo. And maybe folk music appeal to loners because it was music you could make, on your own, in the privacy of your own home, without having a band. But there are some folkers that, such as Queskin, for instance, who did put bands together. John Sebastian just worked with John the other night. You know, he put the Lovin' Spoonful together. He was pretty folky at the start. No, it's not inevitable.
Do you see a revival of those days?
I hope not. I mean, I already did it once.
Not a revival, and almost in a camp-like sense of coming back. Well, Buffalo Bob is back. He's on tour.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it would come back in that form. I hope not, also.
You know, I don't know. I wouldn't want to relive that period. I mean, it was great. I had a good time. They were definitely the good old days, but I'd rather do what I'm doing now.
Have you published any books?
No, I've never written anything longer than a song. Somebody asked me the other day if I'd ever written a novel. I wouldn't know where to start writing a novel. I like to deal in short packages. In fact, I haven't read a novel in years. That's another thing about being an English lit major. It kind of poisoned the well for me. I read a whole lot of science fiction after I graduated. Nothing else.
Comic books.
I've stopped doing even that now. Not so much. The caliber of comic books wasn't that high.
We have a monthly publication called Triad. You ought to glance through once in a while.
In fact, we'll give you some copies.
Okay.
And take it with you.
And if you have the Nikon, that's. Do you have any promo? Yeah, we have promo pictures.
Sure.
Let's do them. Are you happy with the promo pictures?
No, I don't think any of them capture my inner goodness.
Would you like to write your own record review?
We're gonna come down.
Why not?
Before Sunday some night,
check
it out live.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Okay, so great.
Maybe record?
Like a set?
Yeah.
It probably doesn't do much.
Did you do a tape last time I was at the Quiet Night?
No, that's probably XRT.
Somebody didn't want to. Wasn't sure who.
Have you haven't seen a guide around the States anymore? Guide.
No, I haven't.
I'd like to ask that question. Some sort of indication of how much of a vacuum we exist in here.
Well, on the other hand, you know, I haven't really been frequenting newsstands much.
Well, no, they wouldn't. We're not on newsstands. There wouldn't be any newsstands. It would be just
maybe radio stations.
Radio stations.
Ah, okay. I've been in a lot of radio stations, but I haven't seen them out.
That's
I've been on a 2-month campaign to find a copy of the New York Times. So I haven't had a lot of luck with publications down in Georgia and Alabama.
How heavy a tour are you on? In terms of
about 4 months. Started in the beginning of September and will end about Christmas.
Are you doing a, is it compact, one day after the other, or are you on a lax schedule?
It's one day after the other.
I was looking through Circular a couple of days ago, and it just totally freaked me out to see the spatial compression that goes on these tours, and how long it would take me to recuperate from either one day or maybe 4 days or something like that. But just how do you feel about that?
It is very strange. It's an odd way to live, but you get into a rhythm of it, you know.
Isn't it like almost a funny, surrealistic movie that you keep bumping into people and on stage? It was speeded up. Do you feel that you experience more in that way?
No, you don't really have time to get into anything. You get to the gig, set up, do a sound check, hopefully, if there's time. Do the show. After the show, you split immediately. Try to find something to eat. Go to bed, get up in the morning, get on the plane, go to the next gig, and repeat the process. And there's really no... It's as though there's one Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
And they tear it down. After you check out, they tear it down and move it to Akron to have it ready for when you get there.
Get like mashed potatoes after a while.
And they have one gymnasium and one audience. Yeah.
Well, and then what, you know, in what sense do you feel you communicate, or is just, well, this is my repertoire for the time, this is how I feel, this is my presentation, one set, two sets, three sets, time to pack, go, do all over. And I wonder, is that what you want to be doing? As compared to those days when you were playing for $10 a night and maybe enjoying it, maybe having friends around smiling while you hit a chord or give off a clever line?
Well, I think in my scheme of things, that's really what clubs are for at the moment, you know. The business, you know, being a professional musician in this particular niche that I'm in, it is necessary to go out at certain times and play to as many people as you can in order, say, to promote the new record. It's a job. It's, you know, it's part of what you have to do. It's part of the deal. Then you get to go in the studio at other times and make records. Other times you get to play in clubs. Normally I get to play in clubs when I'm breaking in a new band or new material. Right. So that's the point for me, where I do get to interact with an audience and try out new things and take it easier. I also get to do my laundry, because we're in one town for more than a day. It's quite a treat all around.
Do you travel a lot?
No. Well, I'm now working with the band.
Aside from the band,
no, even when I, during the past year when I was working as a solo, I had a road manager with me. There are too many things that need to be done, too many phone calls that need to be made, and objects that need to be moved from one place to another. You know, it can be done by one guy, but it's really a strain, and I wouldn't recommend it.
What about people up in Chicago who visit places like Someone Else's Troubles?
Somebody else's troubles
in Earl Old Town, and in a couple, and during the next few days, it's Quiet Night. They're fascinated with the guitar, and they'd like to break into that market, that kind of an area.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them?
Don't give up your day gig. I don't know. If people are interested in playing, you know, professionally, it's like anything else. If you want to be a doctor, you gotta you know, work at it and do it. And if you want to play guitar, they should play, every chance they get, they should play in front of an audience. And either quickly or slowly, they will get better at it, hopefully. It was real rough for a while when there were no clubs in many parts of the country. And consequently, there's no place for a beginner to start. And that's just death on the music scene, you know, in general, because it means there's no new energy coming up from the bottom end. And it happens with playlists on top 40 stations. They won't play anybody unless the record is in the top 20 or five other top rockers are on it already, and it stifles new talent, and it's new talent that keeps the energy going in music. And it's self-defeating, not only artistically, but even just on a business level, because now the music business is wondering where's the new Beatles, where's the next Elvis Presley, and the truth is he's probably gone back to being an accountant, because he couldn't find any place to play, or he, you know, couldn't get anybody to play his records.
Well, first but inspired anyway, that, to pick up a guitar.
Didn't mean to get into a tirade on that, but...
That's exactly right.
But if people want to get going in the music business, the only real advice I can give them is to, you know, play every chance you get, and especially in front of audiences, because rehearsing in your garage is important, but it's not anywhere near the same thing as working in front of the audience that you're trying to reach. And you'll find out more in half an hour on stage than you will in a week of rehearsals at home. You can tell immediately what goes over and what doesn't, and what's wrong with the way you put the song together, for instance, because you can feel the response.
Saying, what first inspired you to pick up a guitar?
I had an older cousin, he's more the age an uncle should be, and he played the ukulele. And I thought he was terrific when I was about 8. He taught me some chords on the ukulele and how to play Abdul Bobo Amir and stuff like that. I took piano lessons for a long time, but it wasn't really a musical experience. It was like learning to type or operate a turret lathe or anything else. It was purely manual dexterity. But my first musical experience in terms of enjoying music, having a good time with it, was my cousin Bo Beals and his ukulele. And I subsequently got a guitar, you know, and learned to play Abdul Bobo Amir on a guitar.
Basically self-taught?
Yeah. I never took any lessons on the guitar.
Learned from listening.
And, yeah, stealing. Mostly ripping licks off of records and other people. I never had the patience to go through an instruction book.
Chord combinations never. 1-5.
Mel Bay's, you know, book of power chords never got to me somehow. I couldn't play most of them. There were just too many little dots, you know, I didn't have enough fingers, or my fingers weren't far enough apart or something.
Color-coded frets yet?
No, I don't think so.
No. Yeah, why not? I get a ukulele.
Different color.
Yeah.
Red to red.
I want to go to J.C. Whitney's in Chicago, aren't they?
Well, they're called Warshawskis.
Yeah, they're called Warshawskis here. But
and if you have a J.C. Whitney catalog, that's the only way you're going to get those prices. Warshawskis is about 10% to 15% higher than J.C. Whitney. J.C. Whitney gets the cheap price because it's a mail order house. Legally, you can go in with the J.C. Whitney catalog and say, I want this at this price. But they don't advertise it. No one in Chicago knows a J.C. Whitney.
I'll have to go check them out, because they've got
a country J.C. Whitney.
They've got a set of horns, tuned horns, you know, for your truck. Uh-huh. with a keyboard that goes on your dash.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh.
It's a series of buttons.
Oh, great.
And they are indeed color-coded, and they give you sheet music, color-coded sheet music, how to play I Wish I Was in Dixie.
Have you done any of this professional, that kind of stuff?
Playing the 8-tone air horns, you mean?
Yeah.
No, that's why I want to go there. I want to check them out, see if it's any good. Because I have this wonderful image of these truck drivers with their fingernails painted different colors going down the road, practicing Stars Fell in Alabama or something.
I usually do the horn in the car.
Yeah, that's
what we do. One tone, you know, you can do the rhythmic difference. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can sing above it and get various overtones at different speeds. You can the motor and transmission noise.
Yeah.
Make a chord with the horn.
Right. I wanted to set up a keyboard, and it would take a lot of time. And maybe after I retire, I'll do it.
No, we have one of these little organ sets.
Yeah.
Organ sets. So it's about this big. Mm-hmm.
Two-eyed battery. Battery operated.
You can just sit there. Dee, 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 dee.
Yeah.
I don't have this sort of Olsen or these discount type of things. Before ending the thing, would it be one wise, advisable, clever, good or bad to
none of the
have
above.
You make cut announcements of, say, five of your favorite cuts of all times.
Of my records or other people's?
Your records.
And we can put them in between.
And then we can put them in between this thing.
Sure, I could.
This can be worked out as a half an hour or 45-minute thing. I mean,
okay, sure, I'd be glad to.
Sort of off the top of your head.
Chit-chat. Well, one of the things that people have liked best, and I like best, was off the first record I did for Columbia, commonly known as the Purple Album, because it was just called Tom Rush, and it has sort of a purple cover. Nobody knows what to call it. You don't want to call an album Tom, so they call it the Purple Album. Anyway, it's tuned by David Wiffen, who's a Canadian, and again, a friend of mine. It's called Driving Wheel.
Is that the blues one?
It's not really blues.
Which was your yellow?
Is that on
was
there?
Was the yellow outside? I think
maybe you're talking about Wrong End of the Rainbow.
Could be.
Either that or Merrimack County.
I was at Brandeis in 69. So it must have been out in 68. Does that make sense?
No, because I have a very shaky idea of my own chronology. I lose track.
You haven't, I don't think you've heard his version of Who Do You Love, have you?
I haven't. No. But
Janusz collects every version of Who Do You Love that he can find.
Oh, really?
That smokestack lightning.
I love this song a whole lot.
Really? Well, maybe you like this one. That,
it doesn't matter. It is. It's as long as that's the song, it's great, because it just adds to the collection.
I've been doing that tune, Who Do You Love, for a long time. In fact, I still do it.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't think I have.
No, what you just said there, something about what you just said sounded right.
I've been doing it. In fact, in the show, I'm still doing it in the show. It's really a great tune. I'll go along with you on that.
Love it.
Yeah.
Doors version I'd like a whole lot. There's a solo act you can't follow.
Which?
Morrison.
Uh-huh.
Florida. Wow. All gone. Well, 74, here we are. So I drift away too easily.
Let's see, what other cuts? Another Canadian friend is Murray McLaughlin. And I did a couple of his tunes on, I can't remember now, I guess that was also on the Purple Album. I met a lot of Canadians through Trevor Veach, who used to play guitar with me. He was from Vancouver, and I met him in Toronto. There's a sort of a Toronto-Ottawa axis of singer-songwriters.
You play a lot in Toronto?
Not a lot, but I get there once a year. But I really like Canada, Toronto in particular. And there is a very energetic music scene happening there. And Murray is one of the, I think, one of the better writers involved. And I did a couple of his tunes, one called The Old Man's Song, and the one that I consider to be one of the finest songs ever written is The Child's Song, which I've used that to close concerts with a lot, especially when I was working alone. It's just it's a magical tune. What else? Trying to stay off of the new
album.
Still
do Panama Limited?
Yeah. I started doing that again when I was working as a solo during the past year. One nice thing about working as a solo was that I got to revive some old tunes. And that was one of them. In fact, I may be doing it at The Quiet Night. Hey.
Green phone?
New telephone. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Did you have to go to the garage first?
No, John did.
Well, thanks, John.
All of us are yellow?
Sure, except the green one. I was thinking of getting the red one. It's too official sounding.
Red phone.
Are the buzzers in?
I heard, but they're not working yet.
I think he wants to talk about the buzzers.
But then, so we're wrap up the
sure.
I love some.
It's good.
Yeah, it is.
Those natural fruits. Well,
you should shake it up before you pour it. If you like the residue, it is.
Ever run across anyone by the name of D.C. Fitzgerald in your travels?
No.
Oh, Jim Fischette, Toronto.
I'm terrible with people's names, so I may have, but I don't recall either of them.
We have some of the old albums here.
Yeah.
The Circle Game. Joni Mitchell. Another Canadian.
Right. I met her in Detroit, actually.
Winchester? Jerry Winchester?
Jesse Winchester.
Jesse. No, I've never met him. I've never met Jesse. I really like his writing a whole lot.
Yeah. I had a real fine review of his record 2 months ago.
I recorded what, Biloxi, done by Jesse. But I've never met the man.
Spends most of his time in Montreal, I guess.
Yeah, he was one of the, he got fell afoul of the draft and the Vietnam War and all that, so he's sort of an exile.
Your travel around in the South. Better way to ask the question is: do you do any camping or rock climbing or caving?
No, I've never gotten into that particularly. I like less strenuous sports. I fly gliders.
You do,
which is not as strenuous as. Some other things.
The place outside of, well, do you have your own glider?
No, I rent them. You have to fly an awful lot, really, to make it worthwhile.
By the Hudson?
Yeah,
New York.
There once.
It's a beautiful place for the gliding. Is it $25 for a half hour?
Is that for a lesson?
No, just gliding.
No, just
get good and wrecked and say, I want to go gliding.
Oh, just for a ride.
Yeah.
That's pretty steep for a half hour.
Well, you know why, it's near New York City.
Next to New York City.
Everything's steep there.
It's not an inexpensive pastime, mind you, but $25 for a half hour is
friends of ours
a bit more than I would expect.
His parents live in Milford.
How long do you stay up in the air?
Oh, really? Wow. We have a P.O. box in New Milford.
Is that where
we're still getting mail there?
Oh, my God. You mean that's where New Milford is? Oh, wow.
757 New Milford Post Office.
That's right. We still have a box there. Your box.
Then you know the town well.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
it's
pretty the closest town to where we live.
Generally, in the 9 months we spent in the trailer there, I've never seen a more desolate area for what I consider hippie-type people.
Mm-hmm.
It was either we were living in the wrong area, or there weren't very many communes or
yeah
that kind of activity.
Yeah, I haven't really lived there for quite a while. When I was last there, they were having a great controversy over the kids sitting on the benches around the town green.
Yeah, that's right.
See, they call it loitering.
That's
if you're
right.
under 25, you're loitering.
That's, right. That's still a controversy.
But if you're a senior citizen,
you're not loitering.
You're passing the time. You know, you're putting the park to proper use.
Blues songs and ballads album.
Well, I can't really tell you because I haven't listened to it
I don't listen to my own
records.
I listened to this quite a bit back in '65. It has a Sister Kate on there.
Right. I don't listen to my records after I'm done with them.
Mm. Sure.
Because I get so involved in them as projects that I find it impossible to listen to them in a recreational sense. I'm still listening to the mix and thinking, well, I should have played that different, or they should have brought the horns up more there, or something like that.
What goes through your mind when you hear these things? At the time when these records came out, I was quite in a different head. I was a chemist, a research chemist in a corporation thing, and I remember buying albums or records that would be completely from a different direction to it, and listening to it would be, again, a completely
mm-hmm.
different level. And now as I look at this album and the one before that, I just say, my God, and if I go, my God, I'm wondering, what are you doing in your head?
Well, it sounds to me like that record that you've got there.
Blues songs.
That was recorded in a studio in New York, but the first one that got a mind to ramble was done in a guy's living room in Boston. It was recorded in mono, and it's just myself and a washboard guitar. Myself and a washtub bass. Yeah, by Fritz Richmond. And it just, to me, they sound so unsophisticated now.
Mm-hmm.
So primitive. I have trouble relating to them. If they were somebody else's records, I'd probably really get off on them.
Do you believe that you did it?
I don't remember doing it. I can't relate to it immediately, but the fact that I know that that's me influences the way I hear it.
Let's Take a Little Walk With Me album. I think it's the first one you used electric instruments on, isn't it?
I think that's right, yeah. It's got one side that's rock and roll.
Solly, it's another right answer to that.
And
what kind of initial reaction did you get from the people when that came out?
I was expecting, some kind of a furor.
Uh-huh.
But my audience has been very nice in that they've accepted a lot of changes that I expected them to get upset about. Not that I would have changed any of my decisions, because I don't think you should let your audience tell you what to do. As an artist, I think you should tell your audience what they should like. And if you get away with it, you're fine. If you don't, you're out of business.
That doesn't mean that you don't have certain friends you can listen to more than others in a certain thing. Like I find myself when I'm doing something and I don't like it, I'll check it out with people. And they say they do.
Well, yeah, there's some people whose opinions I value more than others, obviously, but art is such a subjective field, that everybody's right and everybody's wrong all the time. You've got to decide at some point whether, you want to be popular, whether you want to please as many people as you possibly can. Would you like to be the Norman Rockwell of music or of journalism or whatever you're chosen field of endeavor is? Or would you like to just please yourself and to hell with everybody else? Or somewhere in between, you know? I don't know if I've ever made that decision, really. But ultimately, you've got to be happy with what you do, first and foremost, or you won't be able to make anybody else happy with it.
I'm wondering if it is that subjective.
If what's subjective?
And whether or not we're, what we do, everything, starting off with saying that everything that we do has access of art to it. I mean, everything is art in a certain framework. And then whether that's so subjective or it comes because of interactions and intertwining relationships that create that.
Right.
Like songs of love or hate or motive things.
It all ultimately will come back again and again to the question of what is art, what is the function of art, and nobody has ever satisfactorily answered those questions, or, you know, everybody has their own answer. I don't know. I think that the concept of art depends upon an audience. But in some ways, the artist can be his own audience. So that doesn't really solve much. You know.
Except the stage versus a garage.
Yeah. But I'm thinking if there was a painter on an isolated planet, you know, the last living being, and he was, you know, doing a painting that nobody would ever see, is guaranteed as a condition that nobody would ever see it. Would it be art?
There was a science fiction short story about that. But God, yeah, I read that. There's something about. Did you ever read that?
I don't recall it.
It used no first person. It used only. I think it took a grammatical. It was a science fiction short story dealing with that subject, but used only the terms we and they. We, they, and us, or something. Mm-hmm. I. It's fantasy. I think fantasy.
I know.
Do you still do reading short stories?
Short stories? No, I've pretty much stopped reading altogether.
What do you do on the airplane?
Oh, I try to catch up. If I can find some news, I try to catch up on who's doing what to who. And that's about all the time I get, you know, really. Where I read how-to books. I've got a great how-to library, you know.
You know, the book, the two volumes set to How Things Work?
Right. Yeah, that's good source material.
You gotta go.
You gotta go? What other tunes are? I was going to try to hit a couple other songs for you to use.
Mother Earth.
Mother Earth was very well received. That's an Eric Cass tune. He writes very nice stuff. Love Has No Pride was Eric's. I never recorded that, but it's a really, really fine tune. Off the new album, actually, my favorite cut on the record is, and I don't know if this is purely subjective or not, but I like the version of No Regrets as it appears on this record, because I was never really satisfied with the version that was on the Circle Game album some years back, and I wanted a chance to redo it. I was hoping, a lot of people have done the song, I was hoping that somebody would do a really gutsy version of it, because I thought it could go in that direction, but everybody pretty much laid it back the same way that I recorded it originally. And so I agreed to try it, to do it again, on the condition that it wouldn't be released unless I was really knocked out by it. And I really like it a lot. Carly is doing some really nice vocal things in the background, and Elliot Randall's guitar solo at the end, I think, is one of the finest pieces of playing I've ever heard. So that's, you know, that's my favorite off the new album. It's a good deal of different kinds of things on the new album. It's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Maggie is a nice tune. It's an old, I'm not sure when it was written, but it was a barbershop hit at one point. It was done as a ragtime tune a bunch. But I think it's really sort of a timeless song. You know, it's as, you could tell me that it was written by Joni Mitchell or, not Stephen Foster, but, you know, somebody back that far. And I would believe it. Mm-hmm. What else on the new album? The title cut, Ladies Love Outlaws, I like a lot. Lee Clayton, again, is a really good writer. Doesn't turn out thousands of songs, but the ones he does write are very solid.
Thanks for coming up.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the apple juice.
No hard stuff around here.
Good.
I was very heavy downstairs on grape juice.